Good evening, and welcome to a very special episode of the Cabinet of Dr. Howdy's podcast, where we go over 2022's Turd in a Punch Bowl Halloween Ends. As many of you know, Will and I record our episodes over 600 miles apart using video conferencing applications. We've recently switched over to Skype and noticed some audio issues in post-production that we're looking to have corrected by our next episode. We hope that the volume inconsistencies on parts do not distract from your overall enjoyment of the episode, like the inconsistencies of the piece of shit movie we're about to discuss distracted us. As always, thank you for listening and supporting our drunken buffoonery. Now sit back, let your nuts hang out, and enter the love tunnel of Michael Myers.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Will, and you're listening to the Cabin of Dr. Howdy's podcast. And, you know, I'm with my my co-host, Mr. Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, sexy-ass voice.
Hey. God damn.
Hey.
You're putting your head down in the camera, and I'm thinking virtual reality. But actually, before we get this started, I actually contacted a few people in show business. And they're actually sponsoring this podcast episode, Jeff. And we are sponsored tonight by the CW and Activia Yogurt.
Activia! I was wondering why I was shitting my brains out right now.
Yep. So, both the CW TV station, fans of Vampire Diaries and other great teen sitcoms, they decided to give us our blessing, which is awesome. Where's the check? And also Activia, you know, we got in touch with Jamie Lee Curtis's rectum, and she blew a shitload on my face, and now we're in it to win it today. Do you ever have Activia?
Yeah.
Have you actually?
I have. Yeah. I don't buy it regularly, but you know,
is it an okay yogurt? Or?
I mean, it's just fucking yogurt. I don't think it really did much for me.
Did it make you shit?
Maybe. Can't remember. Actually, I blacked out and woke up. I woke up underneath a bridge in like a tunnel somewhere.
we'll get into that Anthony Kiedis in a moment. Also, this movie we're talking about is also sponsored by Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge, the 1990 hit single from Blood, Sex, Sugar, Magic.
That's right.
And if you haven't caught on yet on what we're talking about on this one, it is the blockbuster smash Halloween hit, Halloween Ends. Activia!
God damn. I'm going to be frank right off the get-go here. I haven't seen the first two. I figured, you know what, I'm going to go in dry Halloween Ends. I saw you and AJ talking about it, and all the other people, and all the hubbub about it, and then I did that, like, fake the petition online to have Halloween Ends sent to the Academy Awards. I didn't even see it. I just wanted to piss people off. I haven't even watched the other two, though. And it was funny, I was talking to AJ, and AJ was like, don't you think you should probably watch the other two, though? He was, like, asking me seriously. I was like, no, man, I think Jamie Lee Curtis's intro of like 5 minutes telling me everything that happened was perfectly fine.
her writing her little fucking memoir.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I have not seen 2018 or Halloween Kills. I heard decent things of Halloween 2018. I got to be honest. I heard 50-50 ones with that. I heard Halloween Kills is a dumpster fire.
Really? I heard the opposite. I heard Halloween Kills is like stupid, but it's gory.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So I heard Halloween Kills and Dumpster Fire, but everyone that knows me, like, at work and shit, they're like, you haven't seen that? Like, that seems like a movie you'd be, like, all about because how fucking gory and, like, brutal it is, basically. So maybe I'll give that a chance eventually. But this movie, you know, it set me back.
Yeah,
you
know, I was just
never going to watch probably any of them.
I know. It's like, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment, man. I just wanted to see what the hubbub of it was. It was one of those rare moments, like, you know, if there's a movie I'm interested that's newer that I want to see, I'll check it out, right? But a lot of these other movies that I just don't have an interest in, I'm like, whatever, right? But it was so polarizing when it came out because you have the people that are like, and let's be honest, you have the majority of people that are like, this movie sucks ass. This movie's not good. And then you have like the people, I don't want to call them all tryhards, but you have some of the tryhards in there too that are, I feel like, almost are just trying to be different, that are like, oh, I love it, it's great, it's one of the best sequels ever. So I just had, I was telling myself, I just have to see what this is about. I have to see what this is about. I knew going into it I probably wasn't gonna like it, which is surprising because, you know, it's written by Danny McBride, directed by David Gordon Green. Both of those guys are fantastic. I mean, David Gordon Green did Pineapple Express. Danny McBride and David Gordon Green, they did Vice Principals.
Yes.
You know, they evolved with Righteous Gemstones. All fantastic. I laughed my ass off at them.
David Gordon Green also did, with Danny McBride and James Franco, Your Highness. Remember that one?
The Medieval Time one?
That movie's so fucking good, dude. I love that movie.
Right, and that's something, you know, I'll talk about a little later why I don't think Halloween works with these guys. But at the same time, I went in having high hopes, but you know, they were just completely dashed within the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, dude. I went in, I was reverse searing a steak, and that takes about usually 30 to 35 minutes in the oven, then you sear it. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna put this fucker on, I'm finally gonna take the plunge, right? And I'll pause it. When I sear the steak, I'll eat, and then I'll watch the rest of it,
right?
And I progressively got more and more drunk as the night went, and got way more intoxicated with other substances, and and it still wasn't good.
That's the thing. It was grueling. It was a chore to get through. But if you don't know, just, you know, we are going to be giving spoilers away just because it is available at this point. And plus, that's kind of the fun of it, is just some of these parts were so hilarious that we just have to talk about. So we will be kind of going over it. If you don't know what it's about, neither do I, neither does Will. So,
you know, you say Fulci films are fever dreams,
yeah,
right? This is a fucking fever dream if I ever seen one.
Yeah, but not like in a good way.
Not in a good way at all.
This is like a frustrating fever dream.
Yeah, this is like you're in the ER.
Yeah, this is like you're in the ER and they haven't given you your Tylenol yet to get down your fever. You know what I mean?
they have to put you in the ICU for a fucking couple days because you're fucking hallucinating random scenes with Jamie Lee Curtis' asshole falling out, you know.
So the movie itself, like I said, I haven't seen the first two, so I'm just going to give you the synopsis really fast of Halloween Ends. It takes place 4 years after the first two films, which I guess are set the same day, right? I'm assuming. So it's 4 years later. Michael is he's hiding out in some rape tunnel underneath a bridge.
That's definitely a rape tunnel, dude.
And there's like some homeless guy that he must, I don't know, swing with every now and then.
Yeah, well, that was the fucking weirdest part, is that guy's like, it reminded me of Quint from fucking Jaws, the way he was like mumbling fucking lines, like,
I'm Mike Myers.
One man goes into the sewer, one man leaves the sewer.
It's Mad Max Thunderdome, but Halloween Ends.
Two men enter, one man leave, and I fuck that man in the ass.
Jesus, Lord.
So Michael Myers is hiding out in this tunnel. No one knows what he's doing down there. He's not killing anyone. He's just cranking his hog, I think.
What a sad sack, dude. He's just literally sitting around.
Well, I just try to imagine, is he like in his mask the whole time? Like... So apparently the old man says that he brings people in there and kills them, right? But there's a kid named Corey, right? Corey's babysitting this little fucking asshole named Jeremy. He drop kicks Jeremy. Well, no, he hits him with the door.
how great would that scene have been though? Just like, Jeremy, you better let me out. And the kid lets him out, and he just fucking ran and dropped it.
He's trying to run and open the door by drop kicking it, but the door opens and he kicks him down the stairs.
Kid was a little twat.
That kid was a fucking asshole. I would have fucking bashed that kid's head in with a hammer and thrown him down after that. Kid was a dick. So he gets killed. Corey gets blamed, right, and gets cleared of manslaughter. But Corey, of course, is like the pariah of town now. Everyone's like, you know, oh, hey, every instance that someone – this is what cracks me up about the movie is Corey's wandering around this town, right? And, like, everyone knows he's around, but then when they see him, they're like, hey – wait a second, yeah, you're that kid that killed that other kid. It's like, this is a small town. Like, how do you not see him riding his bike every day to work?
Yeah, poor kid, man.
No, so he goes off, and of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is very angsty. She's living in the same town that has given her all of this trauma her entire life. You'd think she would just move to Florida at this point.
Yeah, somewhere. You know what I mean?
I'm going to stay in Haddonfield, right? She has this bitchy-ass granddaughter in the movie named Allison, who's like 25 going on 14. She's always angry. She's always pissed. I think because her mom gets killed in the second one. Is that right?
Yeah, her mom dies, and she acts like a whole bitch about it the whole entire fucking series, you know? So
yeah, why would she? You know, why would you care? You know, who cares?
At least her mom died from like a fucking serial killer slasher guy. She could have like fell down the stairs like the kid in the beginning or off the fucking rafter.
So Jamie Lee Curtis is all angsty, right? And that's kind of the main premise of the movie is Corey. Of course, their paths cross and they both realize that they're both damaged and the town thinks that they're a bunch of freak shows. And all of a sudden, Corey starts, you know, he gets dragged down to the tunnel where...
Wait a minute. All right, so I watched it two times. I'm a glutton for punishment, right? And the first time, I was just like, okay, whatever. I'm drunk and fucked up. And I'm like, all right, he's dragging down in the tunnel, so we're going to meet Michael, right? The second time, this is sober Will talking here and thinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, how great would it have been if he just woke up and it's Michael cornholing him and his face is in the dirt and like, just getting fucking slammed by Michael?
Michael just dragged him down through the tunnel and he's in his tunnel now. Yeah, now he's in his tunnel.
Did you see the fucking meme with the Chris Farley and it's Michael Myers instead as I live in a tunnel down by the river?
I did not see that.
See that?
That's incredible.
I live in a tunnel down by the river.
I also think, you know, it's necessary to point out, so like we said, Corey and Lori. Who fucking picks these names, Corey and Lori? They're both like kind of the outcasts of town, and Corey starts getting involved with Michael Myers. He starts dating Michael Myers in the tunnel. He goes for his nightly ass poundings.
Oh my god. Michael's hog's probably destroyed though, dude. He probably has a huge one, to be honest with you, because he's a big dude, you know, he probably has a slammer.
Right.
I'm talking Lexington Steel type shit, but it's probably just completely burned and disgusting looking, man. Well, and he probably lost skin in Corey's rectum.
Well, the old man at the campsite probably has to like use his change that he gets from people to buy Michael like gas station boner pills so he can get it up for Corey.
It's like a fucking sacrament every night so he doesn't get killed. He throws him like ends in the fucking sewer, like throws it down there.
Throws him a Monster Energy and a boner pill.
And Slim Jim. Randy Savage style Slim Jim, the big fucking
So basically that's kind of the premise of the movie though, is everything we said is true. But the main premise is it introduces this Corey Cunningham character, and of course his path crosses with Lori. Corey starts kind of turning to the dark side. There's a lot of really, you know, pseudo profound hubbub of like, oh, evil is contagious and oh man, look what this town does to people, and you know, all that pseudo crap of, you know,
doesn't work. Like,
you know, normies are probably like, oh my god, that's just like, that's so like incredible and high-minded, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, wow, this is like written by 15-year-olds, you know.
people are saying that like, wait, like, oh, this is great how they're making the psychological aspect of this movie. And then the whole time I'm waiting for when he's gonna ram fucking Corey again.
So Corey, yeah, he turns to the dark side in the movie, and it's kind of like showcasing how, you know, this nice kid turns to a villain. You know, that's kind of the purpose of the movie. And of course, you know, you have Michael Myers in the background in a tunnel, naked, cranking his hog the whole time. And
my favorite part of the movie. There's a couple favorite parts, but is when the fucking weird looking deputy or whatever, the cop. That guy's like fucking 45 going on.
Dude, I know.
Yeah. What is with that guy?
That's Allison's ex-boyfriend. I thought it was her dad the whole time.
Dude, he's a fucking creep. And dude, the best part though, you know, when he comes down, we'll get into that, the kills in the movie, but when he goes down there, you just see that like silhouette of Michael in the background staring at him.
He's like, yeah.
Where's my monster, my Slim Jim?
I need that monster in Slim Jim.
It takes a whole new meaning to the It's Always Sunny episode. Got to pay the troll toll to get in the boys' hole.
Yeah.
You got to pay the troll toll to get in.
That's right, man. But yeah, so I think, you know, the movie itself introduces a lot of new characters, and I think that's what a lot of people, the main gripes were, was that for being a finale, why are you introducing all these new plot lines and characters? And that was kind of my beef with it, too, is that, you know, 40 minutes into the movie, I was bored to tears. I'm like, who the fuck are these people? I don't care. Obviously, I haven't seen the first two, you know, so I'm sure that didn't help either. But at the same time, the story just wasn't compelling. I didn't care about any of the characters. The characters were all angsty and annoying. And, you know, Corey, like we said earlier, Corey's getting bullied by a bunch of band geeks from high school. Why didn't he just beat the shit out of all four of them at the same time?
You said it earlier. You got a 24-year-old fucking grown man, right? And it's a bunch of... when I first watched it, I thought it was like a ragtag team of high school kids. Like, you had the jock, you had the burnout, you had the fucking marching band geek, which to me never makes sense why she was in there. But then the second time viewing it, sober, I hear them say... Hey, we're seniors for the marching band. We got a big game going on tonight. First off, you don't have a big game going on tonight, you cocksucker. The football team has a big game going on tonight, you trombone blowing cock fucks. All right? Who the fuck do you think you are? That would have been me as Corey. I would have been like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You better slow your fucking roll real quick, you fucking band geek. Yeah, and then they bully the shit out of him. They fuck him up.
They do. They throw him off a bridge. That's how he ends up in the tunnel.
That's where the love story begins, you know? And the best part of the aspect of it is that Corey is played by Staff Sergeant Bob Barnes from Platoon. It's his son, actually.
Dude, what the fuck? He looks exactly like Tom Berenger. What the fuck, dude?
That, I automatically, when I saw the kid, I was like, I don't like you because you killed Elias, you scumbag piece of shit. Long live Elias.
Dude, yeah, it is. It's crazy, and I love the memes that people are putting out with it. Someone sent a meme last night of the band. I forget who it was. I think it was Bloody Effing Collector. He sent me a meme, and it was like when the bullies first corner him at the liquor store, and they're like...
He sent me the same one, yeah.
Yeah, and the meme's like, hey, you want to buy us beer? And Corey's like, you know what, sure. And then the movie ends. Because basically, if he just bought those kids beer,
none of this would have happened.
He wouldn't have been thrown off a bridge ever. He would never have had a problem with any of those kids.
The homeless guy would have just kept getting rammed by Michael in the fucking sewer.
Maybe that's why he was pissed and attacked Corey.
Yeah, two men and one man leaves.
But I have certain little things that happen in movies for me, right? And it happens all the time in horror movies. I always pick out little dumb things. And I just said it to you earlier after rewatching. I said, what the fuck is up with the mom and dad's couple costume going to the Halloween party?
Of the little boy that's killed, right?
A flapper, which is the stupidest Halloween costume. I hate when people dress like flappers, okay? Uh-huh. And then a train conductor who's playing the fucking Dracula theme on the fucking piano like a professional. Dress as a fucking train conductor. And I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm trying to figure this out. Are they like, what's a train conductor have to do with a flapper? Like, is it just like old timey party? Like, is it old time? And then I'm sitting there like, no, there's nothing. They probably just were, they had nothing else going on costume wise. Like, hey, put this train conductor outfit on real quick.
Right.
Shown as a fucking movie.
Right.
So right after that, I was infuriated to the point of punching my dog in the face.
Yeah, like, no wonder why their kid fell down the fucking, like, flight of stairs, dude.
Why are you so fucked up?
They deserve it, man.
The mom, I felt she was getting off a little, you know, Corey, you can come fuck me vibes.
Yeah, make me another son, man.
Yeah, like, listen, we got pumpkin bread in the kitchen, and I got a, you know, a prolapse rectum for you in the fucking bedroom.
Yeah, I just finished off some Activia.
But yeah, dude, it starts where I just don't give a shit, right? I'm like, this is fucking kind of corny.
Right.
You would think so. I mean, listen, if I accidentally killed a child, I think I'd be pretty fucked up from it, right? I'd probably go get some therapy probably from it, you know, and be like, all right, you know, an accident, da-da-da. At the same time, them parents are assholes.
Right.
The dad admits it halfway through the film. Like, I know that guy didn't kill my kid, but you let your fucking bitch of a wife fucking curse him out and fucking make him feel like shit about it.
Yeah, ruin his reputation throughout the town. Like, they had to have known that their kid was a fucking asshole, too. Like, that... Dude,
a big asshole.
Yeah, that kid needed to be suffocated, like, man bites dog style, you know what I mean?
Just God. Like... I was hoping it happened, dude.
Yeah.
What kind of sadistic... That kid's the Michael Myers. That was a sadistic joke. Grab the knife, take the knife off the table, leave it on the fucking... That was like a serial killer in the making, dude.
Yeah, they're going to make a sequel, actually, to this one, you know, with Jeremy. Jeremy's going to come back, and he's going to be the new fucking serial killer, man.
He's living in a fucking rape tunnel.
He's living in the tunnel, dude. But yeah, I agree, man. It's the start of it... You know, I think the biggest challenge for me was just the style of it. The style of it is very, it's very, you know, Danny McBride, David Gordon Green, which is cool. I like that style. But at the same time, these people aren't, and I hate to say it like this because there's definitely some exceptions, but like Danny McBride and David Gordon Green are not horror film directors. They're not writers. They don't know, I feel like, how to make a compelling horror movie. They know how to make a funny story. They know how to make comedy. Their comedy's great. But I've always noticed that in a lot of their writing, they infuse a lot of melodrama. And I think this one just amped up the melodrama. And that was kind of my biggest hang up is, you know, me and my wife were saying that last night. It was just a mishmash. They didn't know what they wanted to be. They had romance thrown in there. Then they had these gory slasher kills of people getting their tongues cut out and, you know, which were good. But at the same time, it's just they're so out of nowhere that you're just like, what the fuck? You know, yeah. And then, of course, it goes with the psychological horror. And then it tries to be funny at parts. And then it goes back to being serious. And I swear to fucking God, if I got to hear someone say in the fucking movie one more time, if they mention the boogeyman.
DJ was the worst part. He kept saying it over and over. Every time
I know.
The boogeyman, baby. The boogeyman's coming back.
Yeah, and it's like, how many times are you going to say that? I feel like, you know, Halloween Kills, it was Evil Dies Tonight. And this one, it was just the boogeyman. They kept mentioning the boogeyman. And I don't know.
You know what it was? It was because it had, like, the first half of the film, you're watching a CW drama.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a teenage melodrama.
That's what
show.
It felt like. It felt like
and they had to keep saying the boogeyman to basically reel you back in and saying, "Hey, you're watching a Michael Myers film. It's the boogeyman. It's the boogeyman." And I agree. I think Danny McBride and David Gordon Green are phenomenal when it comes to comedy,
right.
But they completely shit the bed on this one. You
right.
Know? So.
Well, and even like, you know, like I said too, it's like, you know, why would you introduce new characters in a finale? You know what I mean? Like, you're closing this off. You're not touching this. You're not doing anything else with this. Why are you introducing new characters? Oh, I'll tell you why. Never mind. Because they were probably hoping to make a fucking spinoff series. That's probably what the fucking hope is. Is because when they originally made this movie, I was reading the development of it, they were originally just intending on two movies. But they realized that they, quote unquote, had more material than they originally thought. With Jason Blum, of course, involved with this, because Jason Blum is just fucking reeling in the dough at this point. And the only reason he greenlit the Halloween Kills was based on how well Halloween 2018 did. So they don't give a shit about telling a story. It's about making money. And I get that. That's always an exploitation in horror. You get these people that just want to make money. I get it, right? But at the same time, give the people just what they want then. You know what I mean? Like, don't...
I feel bad for the fucking actual... like, because I'm not a Michael Myers guy. I love Halloween 1 and 2. And you already know my favorite's the third.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But I feel bad for people that were really into it. Like, Restless Ghost, right?
Yeah.
She was telling me, she was like, hey, like, you know, I went into it. She's a big Michael Myers fan. She's like, I wanted to see some fun, like, brutal Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And finally see, like, Laurie as a badass fighting Michael at the end. It's like a big, you know what I mean? Which happens, but it's not as good as everyone thought it was going to be, I think.
Right, right.
And, you know, and it let everyone down. It let all, like, the true fans of Michael Myers down. And I hate, dude, you know how it opens up with the Season of the Witch style?
Yes. Yeah.
I hate when people are like, oh, well, they were going, this the third in the trilogy.
I know.
Third Shut season the fuck of the up. Witch. First off, you cocksuckers, the third Halloween Season of the Witch, if you look at the history of it, has nothing to do with Michael Myers. John Carpenter was doing a whole spinoff series of Halloween.
Yeah. Right. You know
what I mean? So it wasn't like Halloween 3 was trying to do this different Michael Myers twist. They were just making a brand new movie from things, right?
Right, right. Absolutely.
It's throw that in there, and I'm sure that was a strategic move. Like, oh, this is going to be like regular Halloween 2018 and Kills. We're going to make it the Season of the Witch intro so we could tell people that it's different. It's a different
right.
type. Well, you failed, you cocksucking fucks.
Yeah, because you still pussied out and put in Michael Myers. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't just go for it. That's the thing. You still used Michael Myers as an anchor for your story. So that's the thing. You didn't even go for it. But I think my biggest issue with it is, like I said, the melodrama, but just the unnecessary fucking exposition and backstory and psychology behind everything. This is the thing. Michael Myers, I'm with you. I love the first and the second. I love the third one, even though I don't consider the third one in the Halloween, you know, story arc whatsoever, right? And I don't even mind 4. 5 isn't that great, but whatever. I'll take it over this one, to be honest. 6 yeah. is garbage. But at the same time, I don't mind the original. You know, the first two are great to me. I love them, right? Yeah. But Michael Myers in the originals is just like the embodiment of evil. You know a little bit about his backstory. You don't really ever see his face. He's this enigmatic character that's just evil, right? And he just kills. You know what I mean? And that's why you're watching the movie. You're watching it for kind of the tension. You're watching it for the scares. You're watching it for the stalking and the killing and the people being stupid and getting killed, right? That's why you're watching that shit. But then you have these guys that come in and they want to, like, make it big. Oh, the whole town of Haddonfield now is like, you know, it's like Frankenstein. Everyone's like pitchforks and shit. They want to make this a plausible story. And that's not why I watch slashers. I don't watch them to be plausible. Like, this new Friday the 13th that's coming out, they're doing a prequel series on Jason. And we were talking about that the other day. Like, what the fuck are they going to do with this? Like, the whole mystique of Friday the 13th is that you know Jason's backstory, but he's like this force of evil. He's come back from the dead and he's just killing people. You don't watch Friday the 13th to make it a plausible, actual, real life fucking story with drama and a psychological backstory.
I'm going to tell you, if you really want to see the origin story of Jason Voorhees, go to your local elementary school. That sounded horrible, but there's a purpose to this conversation here.
Oh God, I already know what's going on.
Find the most weirdest looking fucking kid on the recess yard, right? The playground. And just watch how he gets picked on and fucked with. That's the origin story of Jason Voorhees right there, right?
Exactly.
That's all you need to know, right? And that's all I need to know. I know that Jason Voorhees was a fucking weird-looking freak that got picked on. He ended up accidentally drowning because no one was paying attention to him because he's ugly and they were trying to get laid, probably. And fucking, there it is. You don't need to make a whole fucking series. And once again, I guarantee that series is going to be sponsored by the CW.
Yeah, well, and I think so, too. I think it's going to be a series. It's... You can't take a movie like that and expand on it even more. I mean, you can, but that's the thing right now that we're seeing with a lot of these movies that are coming out and a lot of these franchises is that there's so much money to be made right now. And I see right through that shit. That's why I look at this shit and I laugh at it. And I'm like, you know, these people that are telling me that this movie is going to be a hit in 20 years from now, it's not. These movies are going to be forgotten in a few years.
Let me ask you something, though, real quick, because I think the word cult classic gets thrown around a little too loosely.
Oh,
now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
What makes a cult classic film to you?
I would say a cult classic film is a movie with a like a diehard fan base that is not widely accepted, right? Like, for example, like Rocky Horror Picture. I think that's probably one of the best examples of like a cult film, because I don't personally love that movie. I enjoy it. It's fun, but I'm not obsessed with it. But there are people that are obsessed with, like, rabidly obsessed with that movie. They will dress up like the characters. They go to midnight showings of it. They have, like, specific, they talk to the screen in the movie theater and stuff. There's, like, a whole culture that surrounds it. So that, to me, is what makes a cult film. But when people say, like Halloween 3. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is no longer a cult film.
Yeah.
It's no longer a cult film because it is widely accepted and loved now.
Yeah, and it should be because it's a great movie.
It is. It's a great movie. I don't have any beef with that. But that's what I'm trying to say. It's not. It's not a movie that's panned anymore. You know, 20 years ago it was. Now it's not.
To me, a cult classic. Rocky Horror is a great example. Also, Pink Flamingos to me is a cult classic. Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to have people talking to the screen during Pink Flamingos because half the time movie theaters aren't even going to fucking play it. But you definitely have a very strong following of people, a cult that fucking love flamingos, right?
Absolutely.
And I don't see it 20 years down the line. I don't see people fucking saying like, oh, you want to see a really good slasher film? Watch Halloween Ends.
No, I don't see that either. Well, and to me, when I think of a cult classic, I think it's hard to call a movie that's in the Halloween universe a cult classic. You know what I mean? So, like, these movies that are in the Halloween universe are blockbuster movies. They made a shit ton of money, and they were made with a shit ton of money, right? Mm-hmm. And they involve notable people, right? I don't consider that a cult film. You know what I mean? When I think of a cult film, I think of a movie that bombed utterly and then found an audience, or a movie that was made on a shoestring budget and somehow found an audience. You know what I'm saying?
What does that remind you of real quick? That was made on a very low budget but made a lot of money. It has a cult following that just came out during Halloween Ends.
Oh, Terrifier 2, yeah.
Terrifier 2. Yeah. That would be a cult classic, even though it's getting its tread and there's a lot more people watching it. There's controversy surrounding it, right? There's people that hate it for what it is. It's a disgusting slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke fucking records for an independent film at the fucking box office, right? And it bewilders me that people will sit there and say, I like Halloween Ends, and that's going to be a cult classic in years to come. But Terrifier 2 sucked, or it wasn't my thing. You're out of your fucking mind.
Well, let me go ahead and give you the parentheses around that, Will. Basically, what they're trying to say is, I don't like Terrifier 2 because everyone else does. Halloween Ends, not a lot of people really liked, but I liked it because I want to stand out. I want to go against the grain.
Listen, I've been there when I was like 12 years old. Right. I was like, I was a kid and I used to be like, same thing. Like a movie came out and I'd be like, everyone likes it. I fucking hate that movie. You should see the 1979, You know what I mean? That was me as a jerk-off kid back in the day, right? But we're all adults now.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, I don't want to peg everyone that liked this movie like that. You know, because I truly think, like, you know, some people liked it because maybe they just, I don't know, enjoyed the story. But I definitely think that there are a lot of people out there that want to, they want to really like this movie because not a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
So
no, there's a couple people, dude, especially in my little group on Instagram that do like the movie. I'm not hating on them. If you like a movie, you like a movie. That's your thing. Right. Trust me. There's movies I have in my collection that people are like, why the fuck do you like that? It sucks. Right.
Right.
However, you know, it still bewilders me, though, because, like, I'll be sitting there, and there's people that I respect their opinion on movies, and they're like, oh, I like Halloween Ends, and I'm like, how? How the fuck did you like this movie?
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing?
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing I just find very bizarre is there's just this movie wasn't compelling to me. It wasn't interesting. It was boring. It was a mishmash. It was weak. I didn't like just a lot of the elements to it. And, you know, we were talking about it before, too. Like, Michael Myers in this movie is a total pussy. For being such like a,
you know, what happened to him? What happened to him in Halloween Kills to where he's walking around like a
stroke? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's like cutting up firefighters and like, you know, just bashing people's fucking brains in. And then 4 years later, he goes down to a tunnel and he can like barely muster up the energy to fight some 23-year-old kid who, by the way, just got beat up by four band geeks and thrown over a bridge. What does that say about Michael Myers,
bro?
Yeah, maybe send the band geeks down to beat the shit out of Michael, man.
Yeah, he should have been like, hey, guys, I know where to get beer and drugs. You want to come down to this tunnel? We got to fight this old guy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Laurie should have contacted those four band geeks to fucking take Michael Myers out. Like, you know, Corey beat him up in the tunnel and took his mask from him. You know,
that's
like...
because Corey's different now. Oh. When you become evil, Jeff, you learn how to fight and how to fuck people up.
I did laugh out loud at that one line when, like, the dad's playing pool. And he's like, oh, man, I saw Corey walking down. I know he didn't kill my son, but when I saw his eyes, that man that I saw there, yeah, he did kill my son. He's going down a dark path. I was like, Jesus.
He's going down the dark. Yeah, maybe because you guys chastised him and blamed your son's death on him, you fucking morons.
That dark path that he's going down is Michael Myers' butthole.
Oh, yeah. Well, Michael Myers' dickhole, really, if you think about
so,
it. But...
So, Corey, I was reading online, too, that they based Corey on Arnie Cunningham from Christine.
So,
you know, the real geeky guy. The only problem is that Arnie Cunningham was cool.
Yeah, he was like a badass. He was like cursing his mom and dad out. Like, fuck.
Yeah,
me.
Like, and like
I'm
he starts
drive Christine up a girl's asshole tonight.
And he starts off as like, you know, a really nice guy, really geeky and stuff, but he turns bad. But like, he's not like beating ass. He's like using the car. He's using Christine to do that shit. You know what I mean? Like. That Corey's just a pussy, you know, just getting thrown over a goddamn bridge by a bunch of band geeks, you know.
He's a pussy through and through. His first kill, well, not his first kill, but like the first like duo kill he does in that little fucking weird scarecrow mask that he had.
No, like, what the fuck was that?
No, I'm sorry. If I was that girl, I would have walked out to the pool. I've been like, oh,
take this. All right,
I'm going to walk away now. See you later.
Yeah, when he appeared, I laughed out loud at that, dude. Because he, like, shows up and he looks through the window. And he's just wearing that, like, scarecrow mask. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I knew what they were trying to do. They were trying to pay homage to the original clown mask, I think.
Right.
You know?
For sure.
And then when he walks into the fucking party, the Halloween party. And I have a lot of gripes with this one. And I know you do, too, that Halloween party scene.
Oh, yeah, they're playing the Dead Kennedys. Those kids don't listen to the Dead Kennedys.
What? I've been to a million fucking punk and hardcore shows, right? You know, whole teenage year into my young adult years, I was heavily into hardcore and punk, right?
Right.
I have never been to a party, an actual party, where someone puts on a punk band and people start dancing around to the punk band. Like, what
absolutely.
Kind of... And then... He has like a seizure on the dance. I thought they took ecstasy. I was like, wait, did they take like some drug? Because he's like, look at this dance move, and he like goes on the floor and starts convulsing.
No, he accidentally took one of Michael Myers' boner pills.
Well, dude, so there's a scene in Terrifier 2. They go to a Halloween party, right? And the girl gets laced with ecstasy, right? Not like a bad lace, like someone's trying to like do something bad to her, but her friend gives her E just to like have fun, get loose, the party, yada yada. And in my drunken stupor when I was first watching this film, I believed that Corey and the girl were on ecstasy. I'm like, am I watching the same? I feel like I molded both movies, the scenes, into one. And I was like, oh, they're all fucking rolling right now. This is badass. And then I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. They're not taking ecstasy at all. They're just drinking a couple beers.
God damn, this Bud Light seltzer, man.
Make me want to convulse to the dead Kevin.
This half of a Bud Light seltzer I just drank, man. Shit.
Jesus Christ. What's in this fucking, this White Claw Surge is pretty hot. get down on the ground and shake my ass to it.
Right, you dude.
Know what I asked you later on, a couple hours later, to a burnt hog up his fucking rectum with activity now.
Oh! Yeah, dude. I think one of the cheesiest parts was like, so first of all, Allison, that the granddaughter. What's up with her liking the Bad Boys? You know what I mean? Like, she was annoying, dude. Like,
liking the Bad Boys, she liked that fucking weird guy.
That's what I'm saying. She liked it. She liked dickheads, these dickhead guys. And Corey is a psycho, you know, and like,
true.
You know, you make poor life choices, Allison. You know what I mean?
Like, Jesus Christ. But no, yeah, she has the worst. And like, the whole, like, I didn't get the whole backlash on Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, this is a grandma, right? Now I'm looking into the story. I'm getting too involved here with this movie.
Right.
This lady literally has fought this fucking stalker, pure evil fucking entity her whole life, right?
Right.
Her daughter, your mom, gets killed by him, I'm supposing, because I didn't watch the other films. And then you're going to sit there and take this fucking weird, nerdy freak's fucking side and tell your grandma to fuck off your fucking...
I love him, Grandma! I love him!
Get out of here! And your Activia pumpkin pies. And wait, real quick, too, because it's fresh in my mind. What was with that scene where she's like, you just want to say, fuck it, and show your tits. And fucking Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah. Like Jamie Lee Curtis. No one wants to pumpkin. See. Yeah. And then does she throw it on the ground or something?
What the fuck was that about? I feel like that was like, I feel like that was Danny McBride and David Gordon Green, they were all fucked up writing the movie. And they're like, yeah, we should have Jamie Lee Curtis say this funny ass scene. And they just started writing down shit. They probably have a million like different like fucking quotes that she was going to say. And that was the most tame one. Because I can see Danny McBride say like, yeah, sometimes you just want to, on Halloween, snort a fucking line off a guy's boner and fucking bite his balls off. You know what I mean, girls?
What if Jamie Lee Curtis, like, pulled her shirt up, too, to show her tits, and they just, like, rolled out, dude. They rolled out, like, toilet paper and just, like, rolled across the room.
And that'd be the sound effect.
And then just hitting the floor.
Come on, girls. You just don't want to finger your pussies at the Halloween party.
Come on, man. Yeah, you don't want to finger your pussies and shove Activia up your butthole on
you
Halloween?
You don't eat Activia and get cream pie and take Plan B in the morning? Then go fuck yourself.
They're like, what the fuck, Grandma? Yeah,
dude. I can keep going with that scene over and over again. And that's literally what we're doing right now is what happened probably why they were all fucked up and writing this movie.
So the cheesiest part, though, was when Allison and Corey are riding on the motorcycle together.
Jeez. I did like, hold on. During those parts, there was that score, which wasn't anything special.
Uh-huh.
But I did like that synth, like, burner. I feel like I heard that in a movie before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, John Carpenter did the soundtrack with his son.
What's his name? Cody Carpenter?
Cody Carpenter, yeah.
Well, you don't have any imagination. CC Cody Carpenter? Are you fucking serious, John?
Cody Callum Carpenter.
If I ever see Cody Callum Carpenter at a concert, oh, look at that. CCCC.
I just made that up. I don't know if that's his name, but.
Whatever. Now it is. I'm going to fucking twirly his ass and punch him in his balls while his head's in the toilet.
Blumhouse needs to stop. I'm done with Blumhouse, dude. You know what? Because they just came out in the news the other day, too, that David Gordon Green is directing The Exorcist. And I said Exorcist
be a trilogy.
Because he is doing a trilogy. That's the moneymaker right now is the trilogies. I'm gonna make this movie and I'm going to turn it into a fucking trilogy.
Yeah, dude. You know, there's a couple bangers here and there that are fun, entertaining, like, you know, shithouse films. All in all, like, I liked the first Purge was fun. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
What else? I like Conjuring.
Conjuring was okay. I thought that was a little stupid. I liked Insidious. I thought the first Insidious was good. Sinister, I thought, was pretty good, too.
I still gotta watch that. I have not seen it yet, dude.
Sinister was fun. I did like that one. Other than that, I'm looking at their stuff right now.
I don't really know too much. I know that one from Mike Flanagan, Hush, was supposed to be pretty good.
Right. When he did Ouija. Oculus. I thought Oculus was pretty good too. Looking through Ouija 2, I think was the one that.
Really, that's good.
Yeah, I heard that one was pretty good. That was Mike Flanagan too. Origin of Evil, I think it was.
Okay. Origin of Weevil. It's just a bunch of fucking like moles running around, going up people's asses.
But yeah, I'm looking through other stuff, and I don't really care. Like, I don't care about Us, and I don't care about.
I liked Us. I did.
You
like
did like Us.
Us?
Okay.
I did. I thought it was pretty great.
I thought Upgrade was really good. Like, I'm looking at their movies right now.
Well, so my thing is this: what the fuck are they going to do with The Exorcist? To make it a trilogy? Well, there's obviously a trilogy. Well, the third one has nothing to. Well, there's some stuff to do with the first one, but
right.
What are they going to do with like three possession films in a row? How are they going to do that?
I mean, I don't think they really care. I think they just know that they're going to get locked into a deal where they can make three movies and they can make money off of it. Because I think that's what happened with the Halloween movies, is that they realized that trilogies are the moneymaker. You know, you have these up-and-coming projects, so you might as well do them and then make the most money on them. You know, get your bang for your buck, you know. So that's just kind of what I'm over. I'm over that shit right now. Just...
So we completely went over one of my favorite parts of this movie, by the way. I just remembered it. Well, one of my favorite movies of all time, this is me being serious, actually, even though it's historically inaccurate, you know where I'm going with this one, is Braveheart from 1995.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the fans do get Laurie and Michael finally fighting at the end, and it's like the most geriatric fight.
It really is, dude. She gets her, like, head bashed in. I just imagine her, like, hiding in the closet, and he's, like, looking for her, and she accidentally farts because she just had Activia, you know? Gives herself away.
Oh, shit.
Hope he doesn't smell me or hear me.
But the fight definitely sucked. It was very quick, too. I hated. I remember messaging you and AJ, laughing my balls off.
Yeah, you were laughing, dude.
Grabs her hand. And she goes through, like, all, like, do it, Michael! It's, like, fucking, like, just, like, the, you know, the revision of fucking Halloween and fucking the 2018, all the bullshit she goes through. And then finally he dies, and they parade him around. Like, we gotta show
Oh, that was so stupid. They all come out, and they're all, like, watching him in a procession. Like, that was so fucking cheesy. My God.
And then it just gets better, because then they put him in a fucking... basically Fargo him. They put him in not a woodshed.
No. You forgot the part where they lift him off the truck and they crowd surf him.
Oh my God, yeah, they do.
They literally crowd surf Michael Myers. And like they're all passing him along. Like, wouldn't that be funny if he came back to life and just started bashing people?
I did like the gore with the fucking the grinder and see his head like basically implode. It's very realistic that's how I think a body would look like in a grinder.
Right. Right.
But then after that, they make it even more cringy with this weird Jamie Lee Curtis monologue, like fucking Robert the Bruce.
Right.
Talking about how fucking after Michael Myers died. And all I hear is that fucking song in the background. After Michael died, we cut his cock off. We found it in the rumble, and we put it on a fucking big diner window.
I keep it inserted in my ass at about 8 hours a day
to make sure that it went right up in there. Jesus Christ, dude, that's another thing. So I feel like at this point we're bagging on it really hard, and at this point I'm thinking of this, like, imagine if me and you got the money, the budget that they had to make a Halloween movie, and me and you were all fucked up and we're like, you know what, we love Braveheart, we're gonna put a Braveheart excerpt in this fucking film. And then we just wrote that monologue, basically. Jamie Lee the Bruce talk about fucking puts fucking. Oh my God. It was terrible. I was sitting there like, is this.
It was so cringy.
And then
so
watching
bad.
It sober too, I said, maybe I was drunk and high and I was overreacting. And then I watched that scene before we got on. And I was like, no, this is literally a Braveheart scene.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
For people that are diehard fans to this franchise, that was the ending. Of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode, right?
Laurie Strode, yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. We said before, 10 years down the line, some asshat's going to come along, and they're going to say, you know what? I'm gonna retcon it again. I'm gonna make another sequel, but I'm gonna ignore all of the sequels that came after number one.
Yeah,
you're gonna have just these infinite timelines of these Michael Myers storylines. It's like a fucking comic book, dude.
You know what's gonna happen? They're gonna be like, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna make sure that Halloween 2 is in the timeline, so we're gonna go off of Halloween 2 when the explosion happens, but Michael doesn't die. All right. We're going to go into where he's working for Silver Shamrock.
Yeah.
And we're going to put it into Halloween 3.
Yeah.
And then Danielle Harris is going to show her tits, all right, from Halloween 4 and 5. But she's old now. And she's going to walk around nude and talk about how she's a horror franchise girl. And she's a legend in the horror game. That was my hate on Danielle Harris, because she's a fucking cringeworthy freak.
Yeah. Well, and then Michael Myers, Michael Myers exploded in the hospital fire, right? So they had to, like, surgically put him back together, but instead of hands...
Upgrade.
Instead of hands, they just put his cock in that place. So Michael Myers just has dick hands now. And he just...
running around.
He just danza slaps people in the face the entire time.
Bro, I would watch that, though. I would watch that before I watch Halloween Ends again.
Halloween 3, Season of the Dick Hands.
Season of the Dick. Thought of something. Burning Angel Productions. Joanna Angel, there it is. Season of the Dick. Halloween 3. Let's do it. Me and Jeff will write it. You can act. We're good on this.
I do imagine, like, if the ending of Halloween Ends, like, just... like, Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis were just fighting, and then they just started kissing, and then they fucked at the end.
I would have loved that ending. I would have loved if he just raw-dogged her on the table.
Do it! He's like, okay.
All right, here we go. Here's some Corey dick right now. Here we go.
Maybe
shit for Corey's ass in here.
Maybe you can smell a little bit of Corey. What did Corey have for lunch yesterday?
Ass to ass.
Jesus Christ, dude. That would have been a way better ending.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you add that character to any movie, it's a better movie. Ass guy. Like, I feel like if he was in Braveheart and William Wallace is getting tortured and they're all in the crowd and they're like, Hey, what do you guys want next? And you just see him in the crowd, medieval. Ass to ass, with boys.
When you try to make a movie plausible and you try to inject all this psychological crap and you try to make it super serious, then I'm going to pick it apart. You know what I mean?
I blame A24.
Right?
I blame it. I like their movies, don't get me wrong, but I blame it for, like, that's the thing now is elevated horror.
Yeah.
It's the psychological, the background, da, da, da. And that's one thing that I fucking love about Terrifier, too, because you got this fucking independent director, right? It comes out of nowhere with a $250,000 budget, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was almost purely fan created from Indiegogo.
Right. Yeah.
And he makes a movie. He makes a movie that is not elevated horror at all. It's just straight up.
And you gotta respect a guy like that. And when I see, like, horror fans that sit there and bash this guy, what the fuck are you bashing him for? That's, like, everyone's dream, dude. Being able to make a movie like that and make it gory as fuck.
When AJ gave us the rip, right, from YouTube, when it was like, now you can't find shit on YouTube, but AJ got the first, like, rip from YouTube, right?
Yeah, yep.
I was at the gym. I'm on the elliptical, and you message us, and you're like, holy shit, dude, an hour and 5 minutes in, you have to watch this scene. I can't believe this is in movie theaters right now. And it's the bedroom scene from Terrifier.
Yeah, dude.
And I was like, I watched it at the gym, and I'm like, holy fuck.
Right.
Like,
it's brutal.
That's amazing. And that goes to show you, though, that this whole elevated horror thing is going to be forgotten about in years to come.
Right.
Because real horror fans, I mean, we love, listen, don't get me wrong, I love some elevated horror here.
For sure, yeah, I do too.
I love movies. Would Session 9 be considered, not elevated, but it's definitely psychological.
It's a little more, like, I would consider a new movie that I would call elevated horror would be like Hereditary, which I liked Hereditary. Yeah. I thought Hereditary was good. I didn't, Midsommar, Midsommar was okay. Hereditary was great, though. I enjoyed The Witch, too. You know, I thought The Witch was pretty good. I can't say I love The Lighthouse, but at the same time, that's like you're saying, though. It's yeah. A lot of the movies have gone in that direction of being very high-minded. And that's what I was kind of saying at the beginning is you have a lot of people that aren't involved with horror making horror. And it's just not, to me as a horror fan, it's just not good. I don't like it that much. You know what I mean? It's not like Hereditary. I thought was really good, but at the same time, his other movie, Midsommar, was the same. It was the same fucking movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, you know.
I did like Midsommar. I'm more of a, I like bright movies. I don't like really dark movies. I do like the brightness of Midsommar, and like I thought sure. It was a fun movie to watch.
I thought it was. Plus, good. I love no,
yeah. I like tripping, and that really was one of the few right. films in history that shows you how it is when you're on shrooms. Right. Like, it's a very realistic shroom sure. trip.
Yeah, and I don't want to bash that movie. I thought it was good. Don't get me wrong.
However, I feel like Ari Aster would be better off directing films and writing films like the guy from Happiness, Todd Solondz from New Jersey. He's right. more of that. Like, I feel like he'd be better in, like, a black comedy humor drama right. type shit like just like his first film there's something about the Johnsons. Like, that's the type of shit I want to see more from him rather than horror at this right. point, you right. know. I want him to make me feel uncomfortable, but not in a horror standpoint. I want him to make me feel uncomfortable in a realism standpoint.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's another thing too. I remember David Cronenberg, there was he talked about Stanley Kubrick, and he was basically saying that, you know, he hated The Shining because he felt like Stanley Kubrick didn't understand horror. I disagree with him. I love Cronenberg, don't get me wrong. But I thought Stanley Kubrick maybe didn't understand horror, but he understood tension, and he understood, like, the psychological effects of things. And you see that in a lot of his movies, you know what I'm saying? Like, Eyes Wide Shut. Full Metal Jacket, that whole ending with the sniper, that's a tense fucking scene, you know what yeah, I mean, dude. And he understands that, so I think The Shining was really, really well done, right? But he's an exception. Not everyone can do stuff like that. So, like, David Gordon Green, he's a good director, don't get me wrong, he has style, but I don't feel like his style really clicked with Halloween. What I associate with Halloween, and that's just me personally, other people might disagree with me, and that's fine, but, like, for me personally, when I think of Halloween, I don't think of the style that David Gordon Green brought to the table. And that's, like, why I have a problem with, like, Friday the 13th. Like, I don't like New Line Cinema's version of Friday the 13th. When they took over and they did Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X, that's not Jason. You know what I mean? Stylistically, that's not Friday the 13th. You know what yeah. I mean? I associate Friday the 13th as being more of, like, moody little slashers without the comedy. There's no self-referential shit in there. And part 6, of course, was a little bit more funny. But, like, you know, it has a style that you kind of get used to. And I feel like with this new movie, this new Halloween movie, it just was a complete, like, different direction of what Halloween is to me. That's why I didn't like it. So,
yeah. I just didn't like it because it wasn't a good movie, too. You know?
Well, yeah, it wasn't a good movie. It wasn't a good story. You know?
Story, Corey, gory.
Story, Corey, gory. Yeah, yeah.
Butt fucking in a.
But...
All right, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, so that, I mean, like, that really sums up Halloween Ends. I mean, if you liked it, you liked it. That means you just like shitty movies. Listen, man, I've been there before. Listen, when the remake of It was getting pre-production and all that shit, right? I was so excited. Because right. I'm a huge fan of the book. I read the book 5 fucking times, right? I fucking right. love King's It. And when I finally saw it, I remember battling people about how great of a film it was, but I was lying to myself. It wasn't that good of a movie. You know, it's a lot better than Halloween Ends, don't get me wrong. Right?
It was way more entertaining than Halloween Ends.
Absolutely, absolutely. But at the same time, I was like, oh, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Da, da, da. But as I watched it more and more, I'm like, okay, this movie really isn't that good, you know?
Right.
And you know, I think that's what it comes down to for a lot of people as well, is that they were looking forward so much to this film.
Right.
That watched it, they're in like, they're almost in like a culture shock right now. Like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, they, in their minds, they know it sucks.
Right.
It's not that good, but they're going to hold on to something like, this is going to be a cult classic. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll be the first one that says it. This is going to be great later on in the years. I think I would have liked it better if it was just Jamie Lee Curtis dying on the toilet from a heart attack with too much activity. Candyman remake, forgotten about.
Yep.
Hellraiser literally was released, what, a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
Forgotten about.
I don't see anyone about it,
right? Halloween Ends. In the next 2 months, gonna be forgotten about.
Well, look at the first two, man. Halloween 2018, who talked about that movie? After they talked about it before it came out. After it came out, it wasn't posted at all. Same with Halloween Kills. They gassed it up the months before it came out. No one gives a shit. Look at It. Does anyone talk about fucking It anymore? No.
The original, the 1990s miniseries, that's it.
That's it. But no one talks about the remakes anymore. I remember people saying that, oh, the hype is real on this one. The same thing's going to happen with The Exorcist. You're going to have The Exorcist come out. No one talks about it, dude. So Halloween Ends, going to be forgotten. Swept right into the dustpan of history.
All right, everybody. You bleed with Michael Myers. Now bleed with me. Go fuck yourselves.